You are flying high on Locked On Eagles, your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis, brought to you by LockedOnEagles.com and also Draft.com. But more on that in a moment. I am your host, Michael Kist. First, I wanted to remind you that we are not having a Thursday show on Thanksgiving, but we encourage you to get caught up on all of our shows during the holiday break, and we here at Locked On Eagles wish you all a happy Turkey Day. Second, this is a crossover show with Lauren Cox of Locked On Bears, where Lauren will be helping us preview different facets of the upcoming game with the Bears. Third, Friday will be our full-on preview show where we will get into the nitty-gritty of it all. Fourth, we appreciate all the new five-star ratings and reviews on iTunes. You are the best, and if you haven't done so yet, you are still the best for listening and supporting this show. But do us a favor, go rate, review, leave your Twitter handle in the review, and we will enter you to win a contest for a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription, which is worth a $40 value. Last thing, if you enjoy my maniacal rants, my good friend Mark Schofield on Locked On Patriots had an axe to grind and sent me over a sample of his newest episode. It's the most unhinged I've seen him outside of playing Battlefield 1, so make sure you check that out after you're done here. All right, before we kick it over to our crossover with Locked On Bears, let me tell you about our friends over at Draft.com. Fantasy football fans, listen up. It is not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft. This season, you get to play in a real live snake draft, but you're done in under 5 minutes and they last for just 1 week. You can join one right now for week 12. The best part, play for cold hard cash, and get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right, play a real money game for free just by using the promo code LONFL, and it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Eagles listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with promo code LONFL.
All right, so we are here with Benjamin Solak, Lauren Cox, and myself, Michael Kist, to talk Bears versus Eagles. Lauren, man, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing well. Thanks for linking up like this. It's one of the great benefits of the Locked On Podcast Network here, being able to cross over.
Yeah, it's always fun. For our listeners, I know we're doing this at the same time. It's going to go on both shows, so if there's some awkwardness there, don't worry. We are totally invading Lauren's show and Locked On Bears. We're taking it over. There's two of us. There's one of him. I'm very confident that we can get this job done. But let the Locked On Eagles listeners know real quick where they can find your work.
Yeah, I was going to say, this sort of one-sided level of overpowering, I think, is going to end up being reflective of how the two teams perform on Sunday.
It's a metaphor.
It sure is. But you can follow me on Twitter at Cox Sports One. It's like Fox Sports One but with a C. And you can find my work at Pro Football Focus and BearsWire.com. For my listeners, could you share your guys' Twitter and what you guys do and all that?
That's probably a fantastic idea, Lauren. You can follow me at Michael J. Kist, LockedOnEagles.com, the Locked On Eagles podcast. I also work for Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football, and Grandstand Sports Network.
And I'm Benjamin Solak. I'm on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. Solak is S-O-L-A-K. My NFL draft stuff is at ndtscouting.com, and then my Eagles stuff is at Bleeding Green Nation.
So my first question for you, Lauren, is you talked about this on your show today. If your listeners haven't heard it yet, what's wrong with you? You subscribe to his podcast. You should get on that. Our listeners definitely haven't heard it. There was a quote by Mitchell Trubisky where he was basically saying what John Fox allows us to do on offense. How much control does John Fox have on this Bears offense? And as far as coaching goes, you guys rank pretty much dead last in scoring in the first half or around there, and then like fourth to last in second half scoring, which me and Ben talk about all the time with the Eagles. The Eagles rank first in scoring in the second half, and we put a lot of that on coaching. So refresh your listeners, let our listeners know what Mitchell Trubisky said, what it means for the Bears, and how that's reflective of how the coaching has performed this season.
Yeah, so Trubisky was asked about, you know, if the team is trusting him a little bit more now, and it was start number five last week against the Detroit Lions, and if they're opening up the offense a little bit more for him. And his response was something about, you know, you know, I trust my teammates and offensive coordinator Dowell Loggins trusts me, and, you know, this coaching staff trusts me, and, you know, we're doing, you know, what John Fire, like something about being within what Coach Fox allows us to do on offense. And it's unclear exactly what that means, but you kind of get the impression here that especially early in Mitchell Trubisky's starting career here, that there was an overemphasis on taking the ball out of his hands, running it consistently and not throwing it much at all, and really avoiding turnovers. They seem to care more about avoiding the turnover than making the big play. And John Fox has always been a big proponent of ball security, and that's all he talks about after every game. Oh, well, we didn't have any turnovers, or, oh, well, we had one turnover. And in this past game against the Lions, the very beginning, it felt like, you know, when they're in their scripted plays to open the game, it felt like the offensive coordinator had some of the reins taken off, and the Bears in that first quarter really moved the ball effectively and looked like a different offense. But rest of that game kind of went back to normal, and you're kind of left with a coaching staff that will be fired at the end of the season. John Fox is as good as gone. His seat is very, very hot right now. The offensive coordinator has been a heavily criticized for very predictable offense, maybe some of that on John Fox. And then the defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, has done a pretty good job, all things considered, but probably not going to be a holdover depending on who the new coaching staff is. But generally speaking, a very poorly coached football team.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I love Vic Fangio. He's one of my dudes. And so, you know, I think he runs a good offense there in Chicago. And, you know, maybe he'll land on his feet somewhere else. Obviously, he was great in San Francisco years. But I do have I do want to ask you a little bit more about, I don't know how to say it, Dowell Loggins. That's a weird offensive coordinator name. I don't know how to say it. But, yeah, there's been a lot of conversation about kind of the way that he was the quarterback's coach there in Chicago, and then he comes up to offensive coordinator, the way that he's handled Trubisky moving forward and kind of the way that the offense has been deployed. I watched the beginning of that Lions game. I live up in Chicago. Yeah, that offense looked like it was good. It looked like it was clicking. But then the deployment of the running backs got a little bit confusing as far as how Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard were used. It definitely seemed like the offense looked a lot different just coming into that second quarter. You know, do you think that, you know, right now, kind of, I guess, Trubisky's in the best position to succeed? Do you think right now this offense is deploying its weapons most effectively? And if not, what would you change?
I think they were in that first quarter against the Lions, but that was the first time all season we really saw that. And I understand that there's going to be quite a few limitations here just because you're looking at an offense that doesn't have much at the skill positions outside of running back. You know, they've had plenty of injuries at both receiver and tight end. Right now they're starting their rookie second-round pick out of Division II Ashland at tight end because their top two guys have both been hurt. And, you know, they just traded for Dontrell Inman at wide receiver, and he's looking great. But behind him, they're relying on Kendall Wright and special teams player Josh Bellamy. And they're still, you know, there's not – like the ceiling for this offense doesn't seem super high. But at the same time, you're still seeing these skill players get open downfield, and – you know, sometimes it's the offensive line not protecting well enough. Sometimes it's Trubisky being inaccurate, particularly with his footwork. In some throws, he tries to rush it a little bit and doesn't fully step into it, and you'll see the pass either sail or drop or, you know, too far to one side. So it just kind of seems like nothing all comes together on this team at the same time. Like against Detroit, the offensive line started playing well, but then Trubisky in that second quarter had some inaccuracies. And in previous games, Trubisky's balling out and the receivers are getting open, but pass protection is just not there. And to me, that's the largest sign of coaching issues, simply because it's been largely the same personnel through those ups and downs. And you haven't seen big changes in the personnel tend to have negative effects. It's just been like, well, today the offensive line played poorly, or today, you know, the tight ends weren't getting open, little things like that. All for me, mostly comes back to a coaching staff.
Yeah, great points there. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball for the Bears. The Eagles now, after the Los Angeles Rams sputtered against the Minnesota Vikings, took a dip in the rankings a little bit, and the Eagles are now first overall in points scored. I think Chicago ranks somewhere in the middle of the league for points allowed. What are the Bears going to try to do to the Eagles? What do you think they should do against the Eagles to try and slow down this offense that is heavily reliant on inside-outside zone, run the most RPOs in the league? The Bears are going to have to stay disciplined. Will they be able to, and will they be able to slow down this attack that features so many different weapons from week to week?
I was more confident in this defense before last week when things started to go awry, particularly in the second quarter and beyond. And then they got torn up a little bit by Matthew Stafford at times, who played a very good game. But the strategy for him was don't blitz, just drop back, drop eight in coverage quite a bit, and try and, you know, force him into mistakes, and maybe, you know, maybe cut off the quick game and trust your defensive backs that have been playing maybe a little bit better than you thought they would be this season. And I wonder if the strategy is going to be similar with Carson Wentz, because they're not necessarily confident in their ability to get to him and be able to, I guess, hold up for that blitz. They feel like, you know, like defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, he kind of fluctuates his blitz, like his blitzing by quarterback and by opponent. And when he plays, you know, younger, inexperienced quarterbacks, he likes to bring the heat on him. But Carson Wentz, it does not fall into that category in this sense. When he plays bad quarterbacks, he brings the heat. When he plays good quarterbacks, he tends to more drop back and say, you know what, I need my four-man rush to get pressure on the quarterback, and I need seven or eight guys behind them to really hold it down. And they couldn't get that pressure last week against Matthew Stafford. And going up against this Eagles offensive line, I don't think that's going to be the case this week. So you're going to see a Bears team that lives and dies by its pass rush in this game, and I think there's going to be a lot more dying than living.
Yeah, I mean, you're going up against that offensive line, which we've talked about a lot for the Locked On Eagles listeners, how just it's the best unit right now. You know, in the NFL, it's the best offensive line that there is, and it's tough to ask four players to get pressure. And you saw San Francisco do it with some success and, you know, run some games, run some stunts, so it's possible, but it's tough to do it consistently. And then, yeah, if you're giving Carson a lot of time, he can carve you up. You know, he's got a lot of velocity, so I hear that. But, you know, you said you were more confident about this defense before the Lions game. Let's go back to those warm, happy feelings, because I really like the way that the Chicago defense has kind of been built up. I think it's exciting. I think Adrian Amos, Eddie Jackson is a great safety tandem. Marcus Cooper, Prince Mukamura. I think that secondary is really good. I like the pieces you guys have as far as Leonard Floyd, Akeem Hicks, Pernell McPhee. You guys have got good edge rushers. You know, Danny Trevathan is a good, you know, interior linebacker. Do you think that moving forward, you know, you said that it's a new coaching staff next year. So do you think moving forward it'll be maybe more of a defensive-minded hire to try to really make the defense the focus of this team? Do you think maybe it'd be more of a quarterback guru to focus on Trubisky? But I'm really, you know, kind of focusing on the defense here for this section. Is this the future of your team right here?
I think everyone is expecting the offensive-mind quarterback guru hire just because Fox is sort of the defensive guy, and you know, they just seem like that's the direction that they want to build around this young quarterback. But this Bears defense this season, you know, they've found a newfound way to generate turnovers. Like they found this, you know, like there's nothing new that they're doing. It's just a new, like they figured it out. They finally are holding on interceptions and scooping up fumbles and taking advantage of the opportunities that they've been able to get. But again, that starts to decline when the pass rush starts to go away. And when the pass rush starts to go away, the defensive backs start to make more mistakes. You know, Kyle Fuller on one side, he's had a couple big games this year and some pretty poor performances around it. And so there's going to be times when he can just be torn apart. Even Brett Hundley and Davante Adams really took it to him 2 weeks ago. And so I'm not super confident in him matching up maybe with a former teammate, Alshon Jeffrey, in this game, or maybe Nelson Agholor or Torrey Smith, depending on how they want to move guys around. But, you know, this is a team that it does rely on their front seven to try and be the difference maker. And now that Leonard Floyd is hurt, they don't have depth at outside linebacker. Their pass rush, I'm not expecting to be very effective at all. I mean, I think they're going to target Eagles left tackle, insert pronunciation here, because Halapolu Vati Vaitai.
It's better than Mike's first attempt, man, Lauren. You get a gold star for that one.
I mean, not that he's even been terrible this year, but when you compare him to the rest of that offensive line, like I know on Sunday Night Football, the PFF rankings flashed up for the grades for those offensive linemen, and like the other four were all in the top five, and then Halapolu Vaiti Vaitai.
They call him Big V in the locker room.
Big V, okay. That's what they called my sister in the locker room too. It's okay. I don't have a sister, but you know, that's not gonna stop me from getting these jokes off. That's, you know.
Yeah, picture didn't happen. Go ahead, man.
Anyway, since we're completely off the rails now, part of the problem is that like Akeem Hicks plays almost exclusively on the left side. That they like to keep him over there for the most part. And Leonard Floyd was particularly a left side outside linebacker for the most part. So that's not a great matchup for this Eagles offensive line. And man, you see an Eagles team that's so good at protecting the quarterback and getting after the passer. And you see a Bears team that has struggled to get after the quarterback and protect the quarterback. This is just a nightmare matchup for the Bears.
All right, Lauren, it is your turn now. We are on the hot seat. Time for you to roast us. Hit us with both barrels. What do you want to know about this this matchup from Ben and myself?
Yeah, I was wondering how this Eagles running back rotation works as far as Blunt and Corey Clement of my alma mater, Wisconsin. I know Blunt is sort of the every down, I guess, you know, every down between the trenches or between the tackles kind of guy. But is it how do they balance that rotation? When does Corey come in the game? Is it a third down back kind of thing? And I guess where does Wendell Smallwood fit in there?
That's a great question. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, so we've got Jay Ajayi for two games now. And the first game we've had Jay Ajayi, it was directly after the trade, before the bye. And so how he was deployed there was a little bit, you know, relative to and capped by what he knew of the offense. And then we had this Dallas game then after the bye where Ajayi was more comfortable. And here's the best of what we've got for you, Lauren, you know, because you saw it all over Twitter during the Eagles-Cowboys game. Eagles running backs are the new Patriot running backs. You don't know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So Jay Ajayi is going to be the guy they look for to get running down production. They're going to be the guy, if it's first and 10, Ajayi's in the backfield, they probably want to run the football. Right now, they ran a screen with him on the fourth play against, you know, the Cowboys. So it's already wrong, but just in a general term, you know, that's how they want to use him. They'll use him as the primary running back early. Corey Clement, they like to put him in there when they don't want you to know what's about to happen, right? Ajayi's a little bit easier to figure out, but Corey does the things that he does. He does them all kind of equally well. He's pass protected better than I saw him ever do at Wisconsin. He's caught the ball better than I ever saw him do at Wisconsin. And so now it's all kind of level. He runs the ball effectively, he catches it effectively, and he protects effectively. So they put him in there, and you're not tipping your hand there. A lot of different things can happen when Corey Clement's in there. And that's one of the reasons why he's been very dangerous in the red zone. Corey Clement is now tied with Alvin Kamara and Leonard Fournette for the lead in touchdowns of rookies. Now, wow. For those of you playing at home, Leonard Fournette was drafted number 4 overall. Alvin Kamara was drafted in the second round. Corey Clement was not drafted. That's pretty crazy. And so his versatility is really valuable there in the red zone because, you know, he's caught a couple and he's ran in a couple, right? He does a lot of different things. LeGarrette Blount, we've now seen, you know, an older guy, a lot more mileage on his legs. They'll bring him in the second half when they've got a 7-10-point lead, and they'll bring in their 250-pound back. And they'll just give him 4 carries in a row, and it'll take the life. It'll take the Mickey out of your defense. Nobody wants to tackle that guy in the fourth quarter. Nobody wants to tackle him in the first quarter. It's even worse when you've been playing football for 3 quarters, right? So, you know, kind of it's all still up in the air. It's pretty nebulous. Wendell Smallwood was inactive last night. He wasn't even involved, right? Kenyon Barner, there is a punt return specialist. He got a catch last night. That was one of his most active nights. The long and the short of it is Ajayi early, Corey Clement to kind of make things confusing, then LeGarrette Blount late to take the will out of your defense.
And then Barner and Smallwood, and who knows? Who knows?
Well, you mentioned using Clement as to confuse, but I was, you know, when I look at this Eagles team, it's a lot of 11 personnel with Jeffrey Aguilar and Smith on the field, and, you know, Ertz or Selleck, and some 12 in there too. But it seems like it's kind of those, as far as like the outside guys, it's Jeffrey Aguilar, Smith, Ertz, Selleck, over and over again, and there's not a lot of variety in that sense. I guess, how does this offense use them, and how do they keep things mixed up? I mean, we kind of know Alshon Jeffery, he runs the deep routes, he'll run the slant, he'll run the hitch, but he's not really, I think he can run a full route tree, but he's not really used in that way, and obviously Aguilar can be more of that slot guy, and Torrey's a more of a deep threat, but how do they mix that up?
Well, you saw it in the beginning of the game against the Cowboys, Torrey Smith being the deep threat. Dallas wanted to blitz early, so we got off coverage, so we ran some of those speed outs with Torrey. But like you said, with Alshon, he basically runs 3 routes for us, and the variety comes from the looks in which he runs those based on the run-pass option that we're running as well. So that's how you kind of free him up that way. And then from the slot, as far as Aguilar working in tandem with Ertz with different route combinations to clear things up, get matchups, so on and so forth, we work it that way as well. So there's a lot of different things that we do to isolate on matchups, and I think that's more important than the routes that we're running. The way we're able to get guys like Ertz singled up on the safety that we want and then create that space is what we want. The way we're able to confuse zone looks and get Nelson Aguilar free in the middle of the field and confuse that middle of the field safety with Wentz using his eyes. So I think it's more what we do around those players than what we do with those players, if that makes any sense.
No, I agree. I mean, yeah, the Eagles will run you down the field with 11 personnel going no huddle, no huddle, no huddle. They'll get you down in the red zone, bring out 13 personnel, but it turns out all three of the tight ends are actually wide receivers, and the running back is also a wide receiver. That's what they did with Barner, picked up 22 yards on a pass, then went no huddle. Now the three tight ends are in line, ran it with Barner touchdown. They can do too many things out of too many different alignments because you've got guys like Alshon and Mac Hollins who are big enough wide receivers that you can put them in the slot and have them crack block. And then Trey Burton and Zach Ertz are just bigger wide receivers. There's a lot they can do with the same guys.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Mac Hollins coming out of North Carolina. He is just a guy being a dude. And you can never have too many of those at wide receiver on your team. But I feel like this Eagles defense is a lot of guys being dudes and just people. These, I mean, it seems like the holes are hard to find. And maybe it's because, you know, when you have a strong front four, you get a strong pass rush and you defend the run fairly well. It makes things easier for the linebackers behind them and then the coverage on the back end. And certainly there's talent at those positions as well. But where would you say the weak point is of this defense on a whole?
Mike, you want it? You want me?
I mean, it's going to have to be Joe Walker right now, right? I mean, that's really where we're lacking in our base personnel. We had some issues with some run fits against the Cowboys. We still rank first in the league against the run, despite that. It's a bit of a slip-up last night where we had some issues filling gaps. The Cowboys used a lot of pulling linemen, a lot of misdirection, got us to squeeze inside and then popped it outside on us. We'll see if that's effective for other teams as we move throughout the season. And a part of that is Joe Walker just not being Jordan Hicks. And Ben, who would you be your weak spot if it's not Walker?
Yeah, I mean, Walker's definitely the answer. The answer you'd assume would be Jalen Mills because he's a seventh round second year player playing corner opposite Ronald Darby, who's obviously a premier talent. Mills won't stop playing well though. Now I don't really think Mills has been tested by that guy who really, you know, attacks his weaknesses as far as he's a little bit slow. He labors changing direction in space. I think Inman could cause him some problems there, but I don't think Chicago's passing attack is necessarily strong enough. If I'm looking to attack this Eagle defense, pick up chunk yardage, I'm not throwing to Darby. I'm throwing it to Mills. That's the answer. But he's as confident as he's ever been. So, you know, that's not as big of an advantage as it might look like it is on paper.
Is this a defense that it seems like they largely get four-man rushes to be effective, you know, without a heavy need for blitz? Is that accurate, or do they bring it out at certain times in certain situations, or what's this defensive philosophy in terms of pressuring the quarterback?
We've seen some more blitzing than we've seen from last year. Malcolm Jenkins was able to get a tip ball that was eventually intercepted by Rodney McLeod. Kendricks will come out on some blitzes. There was some green dog stuff we did with Derek Barnett when he got home on one of them that led to an interception. But look, we can get home with four. Last night, Derek Barnett had two sacks, six pressures, had a pass rush productivity rating of 22. That means he's getting to the quarterback or affecting the throw one in every five plays. So, and then you add Brandon Graham, who's having his best year of his career. On the other side of that, we can move him around inside, outside. He can hold up wherever you want to put him. Fletcher Cox and Timmy Jernigan both have juice. You see Fletcher Cox can put people on skates. Timmy Jernigan has the explosive first step and the violent hands to get home to the quarterback. We don't necessarily need to blitz. I like the way that we use it to mix it up, but we can get home with four. And, you know, we lead the NFL in quarterback hits and pressures as well. And I'm sure if you looked at the stats, I haven't even honestly looked at this, and I'm actually curious about it as far as what the percentage is, but I guarantee it's not in the top 10.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's pretty low. But Michael, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, you'll see blitzes on second and long. That's where we've seen, you know, just from a charting perspective, the majority of the blitzes come. And a lot of that's because Jim Schwartz really wants to put you in third and long. That'll be fun for him. And what the Eagles will do is they'll decide who they want to get a one-on-one matchup as far as their defensive front four, and then they'll scheme pre-snap to get it. And they'll put a couple mugs in the A gap, right? They'll put six guys up on the line of scrimmage. They'll overload one side. They'll slant all in an effort to get Fletcher Cox against your right guard or Brandon Graham against your right tackle, right? One-on-one in space where they can do inside or outside, two-way go. They can take the track they want to. You heard Chris Collinsworth speak about it a little bit on Sunday night, how they have inside and outside goes for those edges, right? Makes it very dangerous. They'll bring in three ends on rushing downs, right? They'll put Brandon Graham as a defensive tackle next to Fletcher Cox with Derek Barnett and Vinny Curry on the outside. You can't block it. Not for very long, you know, unless you're keeping seven in, so.
And I just looked up, last night we blitzed 19% of the time, and on those blitzes, Dak was 2 for 6, 7 yards, 0 touchdowns, an interception, and a sack fumble for a touchdown. So when we bring it, it's pretty effective.
Yeah. Well, one final question for you guys, and this might throw you for a little bit of a loop. If the Chicago Bears are going to upset the Philadelphia Eagles, which I don't think any of us think is going to happen, but if they're going to do that, what do they need to do?
Run the ball and run it effectively. If they can run it effectively, it's going to help them a lot. Putting Trubisky in situations that where he's down in distance is not going to do him any favors against this defense, and they are going to come after him, and they're going to be effective doing it. So they're going to have to run the ball, and they're going to have to make plays on the ball. They're going to have to take advantage of opportunities that Carson Wentz might throw their way. Carson had one that could have been intercepted last night by Anthony Brown. He's shown in the past that he can, you know, throw some dangerous balls. He's been a lot better about it recently with his, you know, interceptable passes and whatnot. They need to take advantage if those situations come up. So like you said, with the way that the Bears create turnover, and they really have done a good job of taking advantage of those opportunities, they need to keep that going and then run the ball as well.
Yeah, I think, the Eagles played two games closer to inferior opponents than they should have, the Giants and the Chargers, back-to-back weeks. And in both games, what you saw is the Eagles had a lead, but it wasn't insurmountable, and then they started giving up big plays. Now, they had a lot more injuries in the secondary when this was happening. They're a lot healthier now. The defense is a lot more sound. But the Eagles have given up very few big plays over the past few weeks. And we've seen over the past four games, they've scored 30-plus points in each game, and they have an average point differential of 26.5 over those four games. That's mad, right? And so you need to put some big plays on there and get some big chunk scores, especially if you can do that early and force the Eagles to go pass heavy. Then they can get in trouble. So yeah, I think if you go big plays, then you can control it, run the rock with Jordan Howard, really taking, you know, making sure Carson doesn't get on the field. That's the way that you'll win it. You know, kind of a low scoring, dirtier sort of a game. But that's how underdogs usually win it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you guys predict. In which quarter will this game be done? Will it be, you know, first, second, maybe 2 minute warning at halftime? You know, mid third quarter. What quarter do you think this game will be over?
I'm going to say officially after the first drive in the third quarter.
Yeah, I'm of a similar answer in the sense that the Eagles are one of the best third quarter teams coming out of the half in the NFL. I think that, you know, whatever Chicago throws at them, that might keep this game close, you know, within a couple possessions after the first half. I think by the third quarter, Doug Peterson, coach of the year, will come out with his adjustments and kind of put this thing away. You know, if things go according to plan, you know, knock on wood.
Yeah, the Bears have been a fourth quarter team at times this year, but they're terrible in the third quarter. They don't make halftime adjustments, and they've had some issues defending the final 2 minute drive of the game. It definitely feels like some point in the third quarter, this one will be over, and then maybe the Bears, you know, if the Eagles kind of take the foot off the pedal a little bit in the fourth quarter and some less tight coverage, more dropping back in deep zones, the Bears will drive down and get another touchdown or something in the fourth quarter. But if I'm going to put a score prediction on this one, I'm going to go, I'll go 34-10 Eagles.
I was going to say 30-10, so that's pretty much right in line. I think we see the game going the same way. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. 34-13 is my thought. But I'll give you kind of a similar question, but in a different realm, because I think we should talk more about the Chicago Bears in a wider scope more than this game necessarily, because I don't think it'll go the way that Bears fans might hope. But, you know, Lauren, I'm giving you full control. You're the team president and general manager and coach, though he's going to get fired, for the next, like, you know, five or six months. How do you fix the Bears, right? We've had a couple teams on that are kind of struggling with their season. You know, do you have any coordinators you'd like as head coaches you want to bring in? Do you have any draft guys you want? Who would you attack? How would you fix the Bears?
You know, I have a lot of confidence in the general manager in place right now, Ryan Pace. Yeah. He's had a few free agent misses, but for the most part, he's been a pretty consistent drafter. And I think the dream right now is grab Jim Harbaugh from Michigan and keep Vic Fangio as defensive coordinator. Maybe go find Greg Roman out on the street and reinvent the 2013, 14, 15 San Francisco 49ers. And
I love it.
Pick that up. But there's just not a lot of great coaching candidates right now, and it's going to be a difficult year to have a head coach opening. But the one guy that I keep coming back to is maybe not a home run or the big name, but Dave Tobe, the special teams coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. He has always been a very consistent special teams coach, used to coach for the Bears, and there's something about those guys that play, you know, they work with offensive and defensive players. They seem to connect with the team well. They coach everybody just a little bit. And if he and whoever the coach is, the key thing is who are you going to be your coordinators? I think that's absolutely more important at this point, especially if it's not an offensive guy. If it's Dave Tobe, well, who's going to be your offensive coordinator? What are you going to do with Mitchell Trubisky? That's how you sell me on whether or not you're going to be my next head coach. And let me sneak one last question in here, because I think Bears fans need to know. There are Bears fans that say, let's hire Frank Reich as head coach with John DeFilippo as offensive coordinator. Do you guys think he's ready?
You can't have Flip. All right, let's make that very clear from the jump. Flip is mine. He doesn't leave Philadelphia.
He's a guy that's, what, he's been the offensive coordinator there for two seasons and was the Chargers OC before that for a couple years. And that's, what, 3 or 4 years now of offensive coordinator experience? And that's it. Like, is that it? It feels to me like on the outside, he's not ready. But what do you guys think?
Peterson didn't even call plays in Kansas City, but Ben, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing about that is you have the Eagle connection, right? Frank Reich is not calling plays for Philadelphia right now, right? He was brought on because, and they showed this stat last night, the Eagles are the only team with a head coach and an offensive coordinator who are both ex-NFL QBs, right? And then you have currently the quarterback's coach, John DeFilippo, who should be an offensive coordinator somewhere, what was an offensive coordinator for the Browns, did a great job. The Browns, you know, removed him in one of their many cleanings of house. And the Eagles snagged him up on the cheap as a QB coach. Multiple teams have tried to make him the offensive coordinator elsewhere, and they've blocked that as best as they can. But after the season, it's going to be tough. I'll tell you something right now. The Eagles would much rather give you Frank Reich and promote John DeFilippo to offensive coordinator than they would you take Flip as the offensive coordinator and we keep Frank Reich as ours, right? I will say, if you get one of those minds in your building as an offensive coordinator, I think that's good. Frank Reich is a head coach. I'm not sold on that, same as you.
Good.
I got you, Lauren. I got you, man.
Okay, good. I'm glad it's not just me. I'm glad Eagles. The Eagles experts that we reach out to here have a similar opinion there. I think they see Carson, Bears fans see Carson Wentz. They see a 9-1 Eagles team right now, and they think grab the offensive coordinator. Many of inexperienced coordinators have become head coaches and failed too early, and I feel that way about Frank Reich. But yes, I want to. You already got to thank me, so I want to thank you guys for doing this crossover podcast. Two of the best Eagles follows on Twitter. I definitely recommend it there, and you guys do a great job with Locked On Eagles. So keep up the good work.
Thank you, brother. And we're gonna kick it to the end of our shows.
Real casual, Michael.
Yeah, right.
This episode of Locked On Eagles has been brought to you by Draft.com.